Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation this morning comes from our gospel reading, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 28. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth. O Lord, your word is truth. Amen. There's a Peanut cartoon. You guys all know Peanuts, right? With Snoopy and Charlie Brown. There's a Peanut cartoon with Charlie Brown. He sees a group of kids talking, and he goes up to them. He says, why are you talking about me? And one of the girls says, we weren't talking about you, Charlie. And Charlie Brown says, I know you were talking about me. Why are you talking about me? Another one of the kids says, Charlie, we weren't talking about you. And they stomp away. And then the next pane, Charlie is walking off, muttering to himself, why doesn't anyone ever talk about me? Our name, our reputation is very important to us. What other people and other men think about us matters. Solomon reminds us of this in Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Of course, there's that old proverb, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. But the truth is, names and people who make fun of us and say bad things about us often does hurt us a lot more than if they threw sticks at us. It can hurt us very deeply because our reputation is important. God's name is important to him also. In fact, it's the most important thing to him. Both the first and the second commandment teach us to honor God's name alone and to guard and keep that name as sacred and holy. It's so important to God. It's the first two commandments, and it's the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus teaches us that above all other things, we should pray that God would teach us how to glorify and honor his name. More than anything else, it is God's will for us that we should, number one, know who he is, and number two, treasure and honor him as our Lord and God and keep his name sacred and holy. Exodus 20, verse 7. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. That verse should really make us stop and think. The next time we accidentally hit our finger with a hammer and say Jesus Christ, throwing away that precious name in such an empty and meaningless way. God's name is important to him and he is jealous to preserve and keep it. Yet God's jealousy for his name and the reason for it is very different than the reason that we are often jealous and protective of our reputation. We guard and honor our own reputation, usually out of a misplaced sense of pride. God guards and keeps his name and reputation because through it, he brings salvation to men. Acts 4, verse 12. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And for this reason also, we find Jesus in our gospel reading, in our sermon text, insisting that God's name be honored and glorified. Because he loves us, and this is the way by which we can come to heaven and to salvation. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday so many, many years ago, All the people lined the road and proclaimed, "Hosanna to the Son of David," and laid palm branches before him. But the Pharisees cried out, "Jesus, tell your disciples to be silent." The Pharisees must have thought that they finally had Jesus. This isn't humble. God teaches us to be humble. And yet you're letting people praise you in the streets? How can you think that this is good and right? And yet Jesus will not tell his disciples to be silent. In fact, he says to the Pharisees, if they don't cry out, the very stones will cry out. Jesus does not rebuke his disciples or silence them because he was riding into Jerusalem to die for the sins of all people. And he didn't want that death to be in vain. He insisted that that name be proclaimed, that people know who he is, the Messiah, and tell other people, so that that salvation, that forgiveness that he rode to die for could be given to these people. It was his love for sinners that caused him to insist that his name and the name of the Father be glorified. The fact that God's name should be known and glorified is the first two commandments. It's the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. And it is Jesus' first order of business on that first Holy Week, isn't it? He has many things that he needs to accomplish in 1 week. He's going to institute the Lord's Supper. He's going to have a long talk with his disciples, preparing them. He's going to suffer and die. He's going to descend into hell and proclaim his victory. He's going to rise again. He has many things on his mind and many things he needs to do. But first and foremost, his concern is that God's name is proclaimed for the sake of sinners. And so he rides into Jerusalem and causes people to proclaim his name. And for that same reason, he continues, after riding in on the donkey, he continues to the temple and overturns the money tables in the temple because they were misusing God's name. They were bringing shame and dishonor on God's temple. And he continues now with our gospel lesson from this morning, praying that God's name would be glorified. And we hear that God does indeed do it. This is of primary importance to God and to Jesus, and it ought to be of primary importance to us in our life as well. That number one, we learn how God glorifies his name and what that name is. And number two, we pray that the Lord would teach us so to also, in similar fashion, glorify his name amongst us. So how is God's name glorified? Well, we know how people glorify their own name. We do it through setting ourselves over others. Our desire is always to seek to prove that we are better than anyone else and therefore to put our name first and above others, to prove that we are better, stronger, smarter, faster, braver. And to this end, we fight, we argue, we even sometimes sing in competitions to prove that we are better than others. This is nothing new. This is the same behavior that God describes 6,000 years ago in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men of old, the men of renown. Those were the men whose names were known throughout the earth, is what Scripture is saying. Famous people, people like Alexander the Great or King Arthur or Caesar. Names that everybody knows and everybody thinks what great and awesome people they were. And very often, we're tempted to think the same thing. What great and awesome people they were. Alexander the Great. Wouldn't that be cool if we could go back in time and meet Alexander the Great and shake his hand? we men honor people like that. But God, in Genesis 6:4, did not say this about them in praise. He was not saying this was a good thing. He was saying about this, about them, to show how wicked men had become. He continues in the next verse, chapter 6, verse 5, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man, how great it was in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually." Yes, men like this, and very often men like us, seek to make a name for ourselves over the backs of our fellow men, pushing and shoving and stomping and fighting to get to the top, like kids playing King of the Hill. How very different this is in contrast to the way in which God's name is glorified. We read in our epistle reading, Philippians 2, verse 8 to 9, "Christ humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." God's name is exalted and honored and glorified not by pushing and shoving and stomping down his enemies, but through Christ's humility and love and service. And we honor and glorify God's name among us when we serve instead of trying to make sure that we are first. There were indeed times when God showed his muscle, rolled back his sleeves, so to speak, and showed how strong he was. For example, Moses on Mount Elijah when the fire came down from heaven. Or even our text this morning, when his voice thundered from the heavens. But even when God shows his strength, we see that it is a strength and a power that serves and protects his people. The fire from Mount Elijah, or the fire on top of Mount Carmel, was there not to destroy and condemn, but to call people to repentance. And the name that was proclaimed from heaven on this day was not an attempt to destroy man, but to call them to faith and to repentance. He shows us his name and his power in order to save us. And he has, in his great love and mercy, given this name to us. We are called the sons of God. And that is a great privilege and honor. Nevertheless, it is something that we ought to recognize as a privilege and honor and guard and keep carefully. How many of you remember the 1994 Olympics? I was 13 at the time, so anyone much younger than me probably doesn't, but I remember it pretty well. And I remember how before that point, before everything with Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding, figure skating was this magical, beautiful, pure kind of sport. And I remember watching the Olympics that year and just being a little disgusted because that sinfulness, that what happened there just kind of put a taint on the whole thing. God has given us his name. He has given us his name in his grace and mercy. He has given us a gift. He has given it to us so that we can use it to bless others, so that we can use it to call upon him in prayer, so that we can use it to tell others of his love and how he came to save us. He has given us this wonderful gift. He does not want it tainted and ruined by our sinfulness. When I was little, the wall of our garage was actually full of fishing poles. Lots of different kinds of fishing poles up the wall there. And us kids, we could take almost any of them, and we could go across the lake, and we could fish whenever we wanted, except there was one at the top. my dad's expensive fly reel. And we knew that if we touched that, we were in big trouble. The rest of the fishing pole's fine, but that one was precious to my dad. And we weren't allowed to touch it. God's name is very precious to him. But instead of leaving it on top out of our reach, he takes it down. He puts it in our hands. And because we're carrying something so precious to God, we need to be careful that we don't break or ruin it. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Therefore, when we pray, hallowed be thy name, every Sunday, every day, hopefully, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ought to recognize, remember, and think about these two things. That number one, the primary reason that God has given us his name and that he insists it be kept holy and glorified is so that people could learn about his salvation and repent and come to faith. And number two, that God's name is primarily glorified through humility and love. And therefore, we glorify and keep God's name when we similarly use it, number one, to tell other people about what Christ did for them and for us. And when we live a life of service and love to other people. This, of course, is very difficult for us. We're not very good at that. And that's why Jesus teaches us to pray every day. Teach us this day, Father, to keep your name holy in our lives. Jesus, of course, kept God's name holy and exemplifies this behavior for us throughout his whole life, but especially on Palm Sunday. He rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. He rides in humility. He rides in to die for sinners. Humility, love, service to mankind, glorifying God's name with his actions, but at the same time insisting to the Pharisees that that name be proclaimed. We fail utterly every day to keep God's name holy and pure among us. Thankfully, Jesus did it in our place. Let us pray ever more fervently then that the Lord would guard and keep our hearts so that we would not use his name in vain, so that he might glorify his name amongst us also. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.